to be karma-less, to be free from the bonds forged by karma. It is very easy to speak of it, but very difficult to accomplish it. But we can try, we can practice. So to become karma-less, what is the meaning of it? To become karma-less implies that we are subject to law of karma. We are bound by the law of karma because our actions produce effects by which we become bound. And throughout life, we are performing action from self-centered basis and produce countless, numerous effects in all directions. And not even smallest of our thoughts or action or words spoken is obliterated from the book of life. Everything is recorded. And the effect of our action not being confined within ourselves, it extends like a stone thrown in the pond, extends and affects all the beings, all of humanity, for good or bad. If our actions are self-centered, which is natural at our stage, it invariably obstructs the natural flow of life to higher direction, and also every selfish action, however well intended, cannot but produce some disharmony. And it reacts on us, and we become bound by it. So, we become bound to a certain destiny produced by our action. That means our freedom is curtailed. So, to become karma-less implies it is possible for us to so act in such a manner that we can break the bonds of karma that binds us to the results of our actions. So that is the whole secret of it. But how do we act? How do we think and act in a manner which does not bind us to the results which produce by your action? That is the main consideration. Now, to consider this, to understand this, how our actions bind us down to the results of our action, good or evil, we must understand, we must have a philosophical basis, an understanding, philosophical understanding of the nature of self, what we are, our purpose of existence, and our relation with the universe, fellow men, how we are coming to being, what our purpose is. You must have an understanding of the law of cycles and how karma operates. So only with this knowledge is it possible at all for us to think and act in ways that does not cause bondage. Now we can take some illustrations. It is very natural for us to, in our actions, to be interested in the results of our act. It is very natural for us. But we must understand how this normal, natural propensity to act with an eye to results which we like to accomplish, how it binds us, is a very important thing that we must understand how it happens. Now, whatever thing or a person or event or circumstance in which we are placed, we have a liking. So then we have established a strong magnetic karmic bond with the particular act, action, and its results. And at the same time, if we have a dislike for a particular person or a circumstance in which we are placed or anything, I don't like this, then it becomes attachment by opposite. It also binds the soul to the thing that we dislike. So the result is that throughout life we act in this way of pursuing things we like, and then when things we don't like come in our way, we dislike. What happens is, we'll be binding ourselves to the thing we like and the thing we dislike with powerful cords of bondage. Now, take the simple example of the gross senses, proceeding from the gross level to the subtler level. We like a certain food item, and we don't like a certain food item. And we partake of the particular dish we like and enjoy it, fine, no problem at all. It is natural to enjoy a tasty food, but it creates a strong impression in us. And that impression and memory of it gets lodged in that particular organ of the body, which is the seat of that particular sensation. Tongue and the stomach, maybe. And it becomes an entity because it coalesces with invisible lives pertaining to the five kingdoms. We have created an entity. And then that impression has, under the law of cycles, that entity we have created, you know, it comes under the law of cycles. Then it, the memory of it, the memory of what we have enjoyed, when that desire arises, instantly, when that very thought arises, instantly that sensation is, the memory of it is revived. And naturally we follow after it and it gets deepened. So what happens is, from that arises passion. And, you know, we become some sort of slaves to that particular sensation. And then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, like that, when we become slaves to some sensations like that, so we develop a deep concern with them. And that produces passion and anger and so many other things. And with that, loss of memory. Loss of memory, what? What memory? Memory of our true nature and self. And loss of discrimination. Now, Krishna says loss of discrimination and loss of memory of the true self and discrimination, loss of discrimination is loss of all. So this is a typical example. Then should we not enjoy the food that we eat? Not at all. It is natural for us to enjoy every dish that we eat. But if we want to be free from the bond of bondage to action, enjoy the food, but don't dwell upon it. That's where our internal effort lies. Now, today we had some food item, food prepared. We had food, some very tasty, and some item totally saltless because they forgot to put salt. It doesn't matter at all. Even if it is saltless, eat. And your tongue will crave for it. Hey, put some salt and make it tasty. No. So you have control over it, you know. So, like that. That is a very gross plane. That we must not become slaves to sensations that present sensation from sense objects. That has to be exercised by internal effort. That we must, you know, discriminate and meditate. After all, this is a sensation. And I'm experiencing this sensation, but I'm not the sensation. I am an experiencer apart from it. So when you eat the food, you eat the food because it's necessary to eat the food to sustain the body, because the body is to be sustained and nourished in order for the dweller, the soul deciding in it, I, has to perform my duty. It is for that purpose I eat. But that doesn't mean you don't enjoy. You enjoy the food that you eat. But not to become attached to it, not to become a slave to it. And if something not very tasty or totally tasteless is also served, eat it with equal mindedness. So that's at the gross level. So by that we free ourselves gradually by degrees from slavery or slavery to the passions, slavery to the passions to enjoy the objects of sense, which imprisons us. This is at the gross level. Now, we always act in company with our fellow men. We don't act in isolation. We are surrounded on all sides by our kith and kin or fellow men, friends, relations. And we always act in company in relation to them. And the lives that make up our body of made up of the five elements, every one of our acts affects all of them. So it is in the life of every individual that there is a certain aversion for certain individuals, and there is a certain sympathetic understanding with others. When you meet someone and stranger and you have develop a friendship and a sympathetic relation develops. Why? It because of the past affinity engendered in the past. The persons that we like, then we have an attachment, magnetic bondage with that relationship. And it may be mutual, in which case we come again and again, bring us back. We have a certain dislike for a particular person for whatever reason. Now, you may not express that desire, dislike. You may not express it at all, but you may be nurturing that dislike in your heart. And that is a very powerful, powerful force that you have generated. Whether you know it or not, whether the person who is disliked knows it or not, what happens is a certain reaction takes place in the person who is disliked. And a negative magnetic bond is established between you and the person you dislike. And it cannot be broken unless it is compensated and neutralized by opposite action. Unless that is done, this magnetic attachment with the opposite between the two, between the one who dislikes and the one disliked. At some future life, so you have already established a bondage. Now you have generated a destiny and you cannot change the destiny. Once you have shot the arrow, before you shoot the arrow, you know how to shoot and you can choose. Before shooting the direction, strength and force, or you can choose. But once the arrow is gone, you cannot change the course. So the dislike that you have for the person is the arrow is already shot, destiny is already made. At some life, in some circumstance, you should come in contact with that person directly or indirectly, and old had been generated. Asserts itself instantly. And unknown to himself and to yourself, he will be the cause of causing difficulties in your life, of placing obstacles in your life, causing some misery, pain, or something like that. So that's how we get bound by our actions based on likes and dislikes. So, what do we do in order to break this bondage? Obviously, we must discriminate and learn how the law of karma operates, and how we must think and act. So, under every circumstance and in respect of every individual that we have interaction with, we must see to it that we do not entertain any kind of animosity or feeling of dislike at all. And if the feeling of dislike or animosity exists because of the prior cause generated in the past, then it is an opportunity for us for it to instantly recognize and bring about a change. How do we do it? Look, I have a dislike for that person. He has dislike for me. So if somebody has a dislike for me and does injury to me, normal reaction is hate him or retaliate. But the one who knows the law of karma will never do that. He understands why this kind of a negative attitude has come about, though the two may not have had a long association in this life, something instinctively. So he instantly recognizes that it has been generated in the past. Now, this is an opportunity to set right the negative factor. So what the wise man will do is, he will make a conscious inward effort in cultivating feeling of friendship with a person, remove all animosity and develop as, you know, develop a liking or view the person from a higher light, that he's also an embodied being, he's a soul, part of the whole, not different from me. He's myself in another body, his higher thought, that we are souls. So by this conscious effort, individual inward effort, you develop a charitable attitude, and whenever the opportunity arises, do good. And by this conscious effort, you break that negative magnetic bond. So the result will be that we come again in some life together, and the effort that we had made in the life will have produced a cause. Then when we meet again, the charitable attitude that with which we had interacted with that person will assert itself in future life and nullify the negative magnetic relation that we had established in the past. So this is how we can bring about a change in the destiny that we create by our actions. I mean, there's a simple example. Similarly with the circumstances of life. Now, when we understand that our true self is all self, there is no separateness, that we are integral part of the whole. And the true self is also the absolutely just, wise, intelligent law. then with that understanding, we recognize in whatever circumstance we are placed in life, whatever circumstance we are placed in life, whether pleasant or very unpleasant, or full of difficulties and obstacles, in whatever the condition may be, the wise man will recognize that this is not accident, but this is something that is absolutely just. If the circumstances are very pleasant, well, it is the result of harmonious actions, meritorious action that is the past, then present circumstances have come into being. I'm enjoying it. But at the same time, the wise man will say, let me share this bounty with others. And secondly, he will not be attached to the present circumstances. If you get attached to present circumstances, try to perpetuate it and become attached to it, then he'll be forging the bonds of karma. And everything that we do for our own happiness, being subversive of the law of brotherhood, the master says, it will be the cause of trouble. All that we do for our own sake may finally, and do karma with a view to get benefit for ourselves, then it is a double-edged sword. You get bound for one thing, and second thing is, whatever you store to obtain will become the benefit of another. So the wise man will not be attached to present circumstances while doing his duty in the present circumstances, and sharing the benefits with others and performing his duty with a view to liberate himself from the bonds of action. The wise man's action will be that. If we are placed in unpleasant circumstances, painful circumstances, then we must say, well, I myself deserve it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have come at all. It is just what comes in life, whether painful or pleasant, full of disaster or fortune, it is the decree of absolute justice that we must understand. So then we will not complain against the adverse circumstances. Now, you know, this astrology is a very common thing in India. And mostly people are motivated by self-interest. So what happens is, astrologer will say, look, the effect of Saturn is coming on you, right? You will have a lot of difficulties. Then the person is scared. Look, what will I do to escape it? Then the priest will say, you do this homa, you do that homa, and the effect of ill effect will be all, you know, you please the planetary gods and you will be saved. That is the counsel of an ignorant teacher to an ignorant follower. Now, whatever circumstance, difficulties that you face in life, if you try to escape it by resorting to any of these means, divination or religious ceremonies or psychic practices or what they call the Christian science, what will happen? Now, the absolutely just law is bringing the results of your action, inharmonious action, as pain, and the effect of the inharmonious actions that had been generated in the past could never be equilibrated without the person experiencing it and working it out of his life completely till that inharmonious vibration is expended. So it requires on his part a wisdom to say that this is what I myself desired, and uncomplainingly I accept. And he will not struggle to resort to devious means. Now, what happens then is the particular discard that had been created is fully worked out and burnt out. That's why the voice of the silence says, teach to eschew all causes, but let the ripple of effect as a great tidal wave run its course. This is the wise man's action. So that's how, and when we take the attitude of responsibility and acceptance, then our mind, to that extent, purified, freed, is in a state of preparedness to understand and recognize the lessons that are implicit in that experience. And once the, as Crosby says, once the lessons are learned, the need for the trial ceases. So this is how one makes spiritual progress. This is how one cuts the bonds of karma and rises higher. So, in this, there are souls quite advanced who purposely take birth in circumstances which are very challenging, full of difficulties, and in families which are in dire straits, for two reasons. One, it is only through such experience, gone through with the right attitude and right knowledge, one gains inner soul strength, patience, discrimination, and discipline. So that's why a circumstances of poverty and want is not necessarily bad karma. But a life of great luxury and comfort maybe very pleasant, but if one gets attached to it, becomes a bondage. So equal-mindedness is very important. So let's read some verses from the Bhagavad Gita about equal-mindedness. Gladys, is fourth chapter, is it? Yeah, I think fourth chapter. Yeah. So this kind of action is called sacrificial action. Sacrificial action, yajna. That means you lit the fire of spiritual knowledge in your heart through study of philosophy. And every action becomes a ahuti, that is, it becomes a thing to be cast into the fire, to be burnt out. So, sacrificial action. All these sacrifices of so many kinds are displayed in sight of God. Now know that they all spring from action. This is from the fourth chapter. And comprehending this, thou shalt obtain an eternal release, O harasser of the force. The sacrifice through spiritual knowledge is superior to sacrifices made with material things. Every action without exception is comprehended in spiritual knowledge. Seek this wisdom by doing service, by strong search, by questioning, and by humility. The wise who see the truth will communicate it unto thee, and knowing which thou shalt never again fall into error. By this knowledge, thou shalt see all things and creatures whatsoever in thyself and then in me. Even if thou art the greatest of all sinners, thou shalt be able to cross over all sins in the bark of spiritual knowledge. As a natural fire, O Arjuna, reduceth fuels to action, fuel to act, ashes, so does the fire of knowledge reduce all actions to ashes. There is no purifier in this world to be compared to spiritual knowledge. And he who is perfected in devotion findeth spiritual knowledge spring up spontaneously in himself in the progress of time. The man who restraineth the senses and organs and hath faith obtaineth spiritual knowledge, and having obtained it, he soon reaches supreme tranquility. But the ignorant, those full of doubt and without faith, are lost. The man of doubtful mind hath no happiness either in this world or in the next or any other. No actions bind that man who through spiritual discrimination hath renounced action and cut asunder all doubt by knowledge. O despiser of wealth. Wherefore, O son of Bharata, having cut asunder with the sword of spiritual knowledge this doubt which existed in thy heart, engage in the performance of action. Arise.